Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, Lord, you're calling your people to deep spiritual warfare, Lord, to save lives, to deliver your people from bondage. And we ask, Lord, that you impress the folks that are joining us today to take this to heart, and to depart from things that merely are amusements that please the flesh and don't promote the kingdom. Now is the time for prayer and warfare. We thank you, Father, for helping us with this in Jesus' name. Well, all right, I'm going to continue with the Dragon Destroyer, Part 8. And in a vision, on the 19th, I saw the sea coming on the land, like the two dreams Eve and Bill had in Dragon Destroyer number 7. And I encourage you to go back and read those two dreams again. We can't cover them today, or we wouldn't get anything else done, but because there's just a lot there, and I'm going to add to it today. Those dreams were wider in effect than what we were able to cover in Part 7. So I'm going to continue on with some very, very important things that we need to do. In that vision, I was watching the waves very closely, studying them. My eyesight was supernatural, and I saw that the waves brought sand from the sea. You know how waves, when they come in and they start breaking, they stir up sand with the sea, and then they deposited it up on the seashore, right? So they brought sand from the sea to the land. And the returning water brought some of the sand back to the sea. As in, back under the beast. Other sand stayed in community, so to speak. You know, Abraham's seed, which believers are through faith, according to Paul in Romans, were called by God the sands of the seashore. And here, in my vision, we're seeing the sand swallowed up by the beast, also known as the dragon and Satan. The beast is the seas or oceans of lost people. Revelation 17 and 15, for instance, says that the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are the peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. We'll address this again. Daniel also said the same thing concerning this beast that we're dealing with right now. Now, Eve said in her dream, I had an open vision of big waves of the ocean breaking upon the sand on the beach. They were fierce, angry waves. Anger, of course, indicates that human and or demonic activity is being spoken of here. And the sky was black in the distance. There was a terrible storm on its way in, and I said to myself, the waves are going to trespass their bounds. We know that God said he put a boundary for the waves, and that is that so that they wouldn't constantly overcome the beach, right? Come upon the land, right? And Eve said, I could sense the impending danger. Well, Daniel said that the last four beast empires came up from the sea. To do what? Well, to overcome the seashore, which represents God's people. And God said that his people are as the sands of the seashore. And this speaks of the beast overcoming his people. Now, sometimes people see this in a natural way, you know, for instance, the government physically conquering the people, or the spirit of the government that comes from the pit. You know, the spirit of the beast comes from the pit, the Bible says so, which is those demonic hordes who enforce the beast in Satan's kingdom, right? Those spirits overcoming people. Well, we know we're constantly assailed by the flesh, and the flesh is constantly assailed by the demonic powers. They seek to overcome us. And that's one reason we get filled with God's Holy Spirit and don't leave room in our lives for the beast to rule, right? So this revelation, hers and mine, both speak of the beast overcoming God's people. We're being warned of an ongoing attack and to pray for the victory that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Well, then it happened. You know, the satanic sacrifice of the deep state shadow government of on the right-wing people at the Las Vegas concert is a good example. And this is very similar to the JFK sacrifice of the lone shooter. Falsely so said, right? Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, nobody can prove it because he had to be killed, right? And just as they're killing the witnesses now, or have been. You know, this Lee Harvey Oswald lone gunman syndrome is from the CIA. This is their way. It's strange that now the JFK files are to be released. 300 people were assassinated so that the truth would not come forth at that time. And then they locked it up until now. And now it's being released. Whether the president will go along with it, I don't know. I hope he does release it because it's going to point out at this time who is doing these things, I believe. I don't know if any of you saw it, but I saw the video from behind the grassy knoll. Don't know if it's even still out there, but I saw it, and I saw the guy who was driving the car, the CIA agent that was driving the car, turn around with a pistol and shot JFK in the head. And then, of course, Jackie saw where it came from, and she climbed over the trunk. Right, and then the CIA people pushed her back in the trunk and took her somewhere and debriefed her real quick, like, right. This time we don't know how many were killed to cover for the fact that the CIA was behind this, too, and it was not a lone gunman, as multitudes all over the internet are witnessing now. Okay. And it was that way then, too. People saw it. The flight that was downed in the harbor over there, there were, I don't know how many witnesses that they wouldn't even let speak in court. They sent out their people to interview them, and then they did not represent them in court at all. And when the people objected in court, the judge says, we're going to throw you out if you don't shut up, you know. So it was that kind of thing. Total cover-up. That's what we're in now. And Bill said in his dream that the waves from the ocean were a great threat to God's people and that we must pray diligently against this. So the dragon beast is coming against God's people. But how? Well, he said in his dream, quote, I turned around to go back to the beach, or maybe just kind of walk around a little. And when I looked up to my right, the sky looked normal enough. But as I looked up, and there were ripples or waves going across the sky. like when someone drops a rock in the water. Waves going across the sky. There were two giant circular ripples or waves in the sky right next to each other. It was as if the Lord tapped the sky with his finger twice. I literally heard tap, tap. And then he saw the waves, you know. I was gripped by fear and terror as I knew something terrible was about to happen. Well, I tell you what, he was right on that. Something terrible did happen from these waves in the sky. I'm going to call them microwaves, lasers. From the sky, they began to destroy the lives, the homes, the properties, the businesses of right-wing people. So they were taking out these people and their businesses and their homes and some lives. These are the people who voted for Trump in California. And sure enough, they found a lone pyromaniac Mexican to blame for the fires. If you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. You know, I asked the Lord if these were laser weapons destroying these homes, and I got three heads for a confirmation. Microwaves don't burn foliage, but metal that burns, as anyone who puts these in a microwave knows, the burning metal then can destroy foliage. But the pictures all over the net show metal burned and melted totally. In the homes, there wasn't any of the metal frames for washers and dryers and that kind of stuff. They were just gone. And here's the thing. There were trees and other buildings right next to them that were fine. In other words, it was not a forest fire that spread into 14 different areas. The areas were burned almost simultaneously. And the pictures all over the internet prove these things. This was microwave weapons. Microwave laser weapons that they've been, working on for a long time. And according to much that is said on the internet, they've come a long, long ways in harnessing the temperatures of the sun to totally destroy things. It was amazing to look at these pictures. Metal melted, running across the road. Glasses and all, the windshields melted out. This was not a forest fire. You know, a forest fire, it spreads from the shrubs and the trees to the next shrubs and trees. Go look at the pictures. There was no forest fire. The trees that did burn that were right next to the structures caught fire, but some of them were still green. It's amazing. You know, I read about people talking about how that they'd be working on one house and no flames on the next house or around the next house, and suddenly it explodes. And the firemen just shrug and keep on with their work, you know, but people wonder, what? How did that happen, you know? Well, you don't see lasers. You don't see microwaves. But there are waves in the air. And they do bring destruction. And we had a warning right here in this dream. So, it's amazing looking at block after block after block. And sometimes, right in the middle of a bunch of very clean buildings, no problem whatsoever, no smoke on them or no nothing, you know, is a totally burned out wreck of a building. Nah. I mean, go look at the pictures, you'll see what I mean. I'm gonna in this text here. I'm going to put some links for you to look at, but there's a lot more out there. They're on the internet. This is obviously supernatural, or it is a microwave weapon, which they do have. They control them from certain buildings, just like they control the drones from certain buildings. They do warfare even across the other side of the earth from buildings here in the United States that controllers sit in and control. They control bombs. They control, you know, these things from buildings. And this is what's happening now. I mean, I asked the Lord and I got the answer. So, listen to this. Michael Hare dreamed on the morning of October 19th, 2017. He told me about it when he got up. He said, I dreamed David and I were in a large industrial warehouse or shop with much old dusty equipment. We were being shot at by unseen forces. Unseen, you know, like microwaves and lasers are unseen. You know, they just do their destruction and they're gone. They focus on a certain point, bringing intense heat to that point. And of course, this will destroy people in the houses. How come 40-something people didn't get out of their houses if this was a fire raging through a subdivision? The first thing people do is go over there and knock on their neighbor's doors, right? Well, no, they're dead in their house. Wonder how that could happen. And Michael said, we were both shooting the shots fired at us down. In other words, the shots themselves, we were shooting them down with our lasers or supernatural weapons. Well, our lasers are, of course, light from the Word, which we use by faith, right? 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, or they're not carnal, right? But mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. Well, okay, so our weapons were knocking down their weapons. But how? Well, he said, David then said, we need to find the source of these and knock it out. In other words, instead of shooting them one by one, we have been doing that, haven't we? We've been shooting them one by one as they come up, you know, working on that one. He said, we need to find the source of these and knock it out. I looked out the window and saw that the main source of the attacks was coming from the enemy, was a building down the way from us, and it was full of weapons that one man inside was directing the attack. Do you get that? Guess what they call these weapons? Directed energy weapons, DEW. Now, they can bounce them off satellites and focus them on any place on the earth. Or they can use them from planes and are directed from buildings on the ground, just like, you know, the J-dams and things like that that they send up. And Wikipedia covers it, but let me say that what they say there, you just have to remember that they've claimed that they're 40 years ahead of us in technology. They're not going to tell you everything they know about their weapons. They can tell some things because they know the enemy already has them. They don't mind telling you the parts that they know the enemy already has. But secret weapons are only good if they're secret weapons. So, and by the way, the criminals in the government have their hands on these kinds of weapons. And Michael went on to say, we directed our lasers, microwave and a type of non-conventional supernatural weapons, you know, which he puts in parentheses, prayers. we directed our weapons at it, and the building was immediately melted down. And all its weapons were destroyed along with whoever was there. And that was the end of the dream. Well, here, saints, direct your spiritual weapons at these buildings, these control buildings that are destroying people, destroying lives, and so on. Go to the source, he says, so we don't have to fight each battle as it comes, because there are more battles threatened, as we will get to in a few minutes. More battles threatened. And the Lord's got a thing or two to do about this too, because we've been getting in our morning meetings verse after verse after verse about destruction of His people because they are disobedient and rebelling against His covenant. We've been getting this for a while now. We're thinking, okay, this is the apostates, of course. The rest are all under the Passover, right? God's talking about taking them into captivity, you know, like the Zedekiah, you know, administration, which, you know, was taken into captivity by Babylon. And I would say that's happened. They're totally under the control of the beast. And for money reasons and all, and, you know, other reasons, they basically have been conquered by the beast, which is their flesh, and also the beast of the world has taken over the churches. So direct your spiritual weapons, okay? And then he said in another dream, the same night, David and I were in a college setting, and we were with a small group of people like us. Simple country people, he says. And I had gone over to talk to some people I recognized from my high school days. In this dream, these were the wealthy elitists who asked me, "When do you graduate?" My reply was, "We have about another year." And that was the end of the dream. Well, the elite know, and they're worried about the man-child. These people don't need energy-directed weapons at all. They have the spoken word. Amen? And I remember the guy that did the bots. You know, he pointed out that the no signs, you know, signs and wonders, right? The no signs caused the elite to fear them, because they were in touch with the powers of the universe, right? So, well, I thought, you know, Cliff didn't really know about the man-child, and he's not a Christian, and he doesn't even favor Christians, but this is his reading from the internet psyche of what was coming, you know. And I tell you what, some of the things he said was right on. His way of describing it wasn't biblical, but he was doing what he could with what he had, right? But it was clearly so. It is clearly so. The elite have something to fear. If you remember, the elite in Herod's day tried to kill Jesus, the man-child. Well, he killed a bunch of people around him, but they didn't get him. And Abimelech and the men of Shechem killed the sons of Gideon, which could represent the man-child. One escaped again, just like Jesus escaped. One escaped again. A man-child escaped. And of course the Lord sent spirits in between Abimelech and the men of Shechem for the evil that they did, and they destroyed each other. Hey, good idea. I'm quite sure that's why the Lord pointed me to that. And then when Abimelech went to destroy Tabez, which means whiteness, this city named Whiteness, a woman cast a millstone out of the tower. The tower of the flock is what? The bride. the tower and caved his head in. And that was the end of that. So, I do believe all these parables are put in the Word for a reason, and God points them out to us. Recently, just a few days ago, he pointed out that particular parable to me and pointed out what's going on now. About another year, could be, it's possible. Now, I don't know what this graduation is. We know the man-child's born as a baby, very quickly begins walking and talking, and then, you know, comes to maturity. So whether this is talking about that graduation or just the beginning of the man-child ministry, I don't know. I'll give some more thought to this because I hadn't had time to think about it much. But anyway, all this is going on is just like when the leftists started forest fires across the nation in conservative areas. Well, I think most people knew what was going on. Some probably didn't. And, of course, we found out that Soros was moving people around to do protests and be anarchists. And at that time, anarchists were running to the forests to burn down large areas of forests and some cities. Okay, and nothing was done about it. Amazing. And just like the hurricanes were obviously guided to conservative right-wing areas of the coast. Was the lone gunman connected to the hurricanes? Well, yeah. Same source. You know, if we want to talk about the source, it's the same source. And here's a Bible code that kind of points that out. On the 4th, Deb sent this code to me. It's by Barry S. Rothman. And listen to it carefully. Listen to the words carefully, because I'm going to come back and address them, because they come right out of the Bible, although I don't believe Barry knew that. The axis term of figure 1 is a transliteration of the Las Vegas shooter, Stephen Paddock. In the open text, it says, all these curses. I'm going to show you where this comes from, okay? It said, all these curses. And it runs through and shares a letter with his name. And on the next line down, shooter, at a skip of a -3, also shares a letter with his name. Okay. Let me say this. There's no way he is the only shooter. And not, this is not saying that. But when you do a search in the Bible code, you have to know what to ask. And if whatever you ask, it will come up. But there may be a lot more there that doesn't come up because you don't ask. You have to ask the software to search for it. Okay? So, according to what Barry was asking, he was getting answers. The only time, he goes on to say, the only time offered in the open text is in the end of days. So here we are. We're in the end of days. Because these things mentioned in this Bible code are obviously happening now. His death was foreseen. In the open text is, the murderer will die. The murderer will die. And he did. I would bet by the hands of his own boss. Overall, there is a warning. Listen, I will chastise you 7 more times. 7 more times. So, if we find out how many are mentioned in this code, and again, there may be more than we know, there could be these 7 times, right? Possibly. I don't think Barry knows enough to ask for the questions that would bring up the 7 times, but he did know enough to bring up some of them. So listen. In attempting to find what this refers to, I found names of the three major hurricanes that recently wiped out much of Houston: Harvey, Florida, Irma, at the absolute skip of the axis term, and Maria, at a skip of plus one, that devastated Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. Well, that's very interesting. So it's mentioned along with Stephen Paddock. You think there's a connection? Well, I do. I think the source is the connection. And it's obvious that they're being so ludicrous and so stupid. But with these faction demons, make people stupid that they think people can buy that stuff they're saying. It's ridiculous. You know, the witness of two men is true. We had a lot more than two witnesses that there was more than one shooter. We even heard sounds as the shooting was going on the ground, not from up high in a high rise, on the ground. Now, it went on to put Kim, as in Jong-un, is at a skip of plus one. Well, let me say this, you know, wasn't given a lot of attention, but, well, these others were false flags. What about this one? Have they planned a war? Are they prodding this guy on? Is he not feared about, is he not afraid of the United States and its weaponry because he has people on the inside? They tried to start a war with Putin. The deep state did. Obama did. Tried very hard. He was smarter than they were. So it didn't happen. But they're still trying. This guy's not that smart. So just remember that. And by the way, could he be blabbing off all this stuff and somebody else shoot a missile over the United States and knock out the electricity with an EMP? So, we've already heard revelations of an EMP taking out a large area of the United States. Who did it? The enemy or the enemy within? Listen, these people are fighting for their life now. I mean, these investigations are causing them to do some very murderous things, and they don't mind killing people because Satanists don't mind killing people. That's their sacrifice. Just like they don't mind being pedophiles. And now Harvey Weinstein has been connected to Bill Clinton and the island of the pedophiles, right? So all of these things are coming down, and they're fighting to distract everybody from everything because they're threatened. They're fighting for their life. So don't think they're worried about your life to do it. Not at all. And he went on to say, it looks like the people at the concert were patriotic Americans rather than sinners. Well, I got to tell you, sinners are sinners, you know. And it's sad, but they are, I believe he was right as far as them being patriotic Americans and quite a few Christians among them. But we discovered what the problem was and why certain Christians are being taken down. It's because of their playboy attitude. They don't have time to seek the Word of God, seek the truth, comply with the covenant. They've broken the covenant because they're idolatrous with their leaders and their dead religions. And God's mad about it. We're going to see that today. But Las Vegas has a nickname, Sin City. And the open text in the Matrix has, "You will be destroyed." Now look, this is at a one skip sequence. In the open text, it said, "You will be destroyed because you did not hearken to the voice of the Lord." You hear that? You will be destroyed because you did not hearken to the voice. He's not talking about the world. The world don't know the voice of the Lord. It's God's people, most of whom are in rebellion against the covenant. And now here's the Bible code picture itself. He has a little note on the side of it. It says, the Las Vegas shooter is encoded with references to murder and seven more chastisements in the end of days. Three of them may be recent hurricanes, also encoded here. One may be due to Kim Jong-un, but this investigation is just beginning. That's true, and hindsight is better, right? I'll just read the different things on the code. Stephen Paddock, all these curses in the end of days. The murderer will die. Shooter, I will chastise you seven times more for your sins. Remember that one. I'm going to come back to that. Irma, Harvey, Maria, Kim, Barack. Yes, Barack. He is still around and doing his thing and controlling part of the government, I might add. He who sheds blood. Very interesting. And that might be facing Barack, because Barack is a minus one skip, and this is a one skip. So he who sheds blood. You better believe it. See, now we're getting closer to the source. Cities. Well, we're seeing cities burned. We've been seeing cities burned. I suspect they're not finished yet. They want to. They're in a war for their life. They want to destroy the right wing, especially Christians, especially. And then there's, you will be destroyed because you did not hearken to the voice of the Lord. And I'll put this code here, and I'll give you the reference that go to his site so you can read all of his comments on it, because there's a lot more comments on it. It's very interesting. So, the code said, because you did not hearken to the voice of the Lord. And that was at the same skip as, which is one, which puts it in the natural text. You know, a one skip means every letter is used in the text. Instead of skipping a letter, skipping four letters, skipping five. In other words, so it's written in the open text. And God mixes those that are written in the open text with these skip sequences that are hidden. Okay? So this is very important. It's in the open text. So where did all this come from? Well, after listing the hurricanes that have already come, he says about these seven times more from which came from Leviticus 25 and 8 and verse 9. I'll read those two to you. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years. And there shall be unto thee the days of seven Sabbaths of years. See, people say they keep the Sabbath because they're under the law, you know, but they don't keep the sabbatical years, you see. So they don't keep the Sabbath. And that still makes them a sinner. Okay, so obviously you need to come under the new covenant. The days of seven Sabbaths of years, even 49 years. We just passed that up, by the way. Then shalt thou send abroad the loud trumpet in the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement, we just passed that up, too. Shall you send abroad the trumpet throughout all your land? So, we're now in this Jubilee year. I'm going to put you a link here so you can read about the Jubilee year. By the way, if you haven't ceased from your works by this Jubilee year, it brings a curse on you. Let me read to you the curse that sounds an awful lot like, actually, some quotes right out of this code. All right? 26 and 14. Leviticus 26 and 14. But if you will not hearken unto me, there it is, and will not do all these commandments, if you shall reject my statutes, and if your soul abhor mine ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant. And by the way, this spoke to the Jew under their covenant, but it kind of speaks to us under our covenant too. We're in the new covenant. They haven't, most of them haven't come into the new covenant yet. It's the only covenant. There is no old covenant. It's a new Testament and the new covenant that we're under. And by the way, the church is doing the same thing that Israel did, picking and choosing what they're going to keep and what they're not going to keep. God says you have to keep this covenant. Verse 16, I also will do this unto you. I will appoint terror over you. Okay, so now it's not necessarily the terrorists from overseas. It's the ones that are in our own government. Even consumption and fever that shall consume the eyes and make the soul to pine away. And you shall, by the way, I think that a lot of the stuff that's been sprayed to dumb people down is doing its work. They're not really connecting things very good. They really think they don't have to be very smart to get away with stuff since we're so stupid, right? And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemies. I believe we've just been smitten before our enemies. They that hate you shall rule over you, and that's what they're doing. And you shall flee when none pursueth you. And here's the codes, seven times more curse. And if you will not yet for these things hearken unto me, then I will chastise you seven times more for your sins. And here's verse 21. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, again, mentioning it in the code there, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Notice, plagues are coming. Again, I mentioned the Madagascar plague because, you know, that's what they do. They start them over in Africa and then they spread them over here and they say, oh, so-and-so flew over here on a plane and yeah. And I will send the beast of the field among you. Well, the beast is here. The beast is here, and the beast is coming. And guess what he's doing? He's bringing these seven more judgments, just like he did to God's people back then. History just repeats, right? Which shall rob you of your children, as happened at the false flag massacre. And destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your ways shall become desolate. And if by these things you will not be reformed unto me, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and I will smite you, as in the California fires. Okay. That was one of the next things that came after the hurricanes, right? And the massacre. Even I, seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute the vengeance of the covenant. Again, all this is coming because the covenant is being broken. It's being ignored. What drives people to go back and read their Bible and find out all these things that their preachers don't tell them? Well, troubles, tribulations, attacks from the enemy, people looking for protection And, you know, abiding in Christ is the greatest protection. Righteousness delivereth from death, but rebellion, which is what we've got in most all of the church, that are not obeying the covenant at all. You need to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling in these days. You can't trust any man whatsoever. Go and find out what God has to say to you. Eat your manna from heaven every day, right? So it don't breed worms, because you can't save it up for tomorrow. Today's manna is there for you today, right? And you shall be gathered together within your cities. Oh, that's not necessarily a good thing. I've been saying this is a bad thing. Don't be in a big city. Ask the Lord. And I will send the pestilence among you. Get out of the cities. I mean, when the pestilence goes through a city, guess what? They barricade it. They don't want it on them. Get out of the cities. And you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Well, it has happened. It has happened. The timing is right. We went through the 49 years, started the 50th year, and now he's saying, okay, seven times more if you won't listen, if you're not going to obey, if you're not going to hearken unto my voice, seven times more. Verse 26, when I break your staff of bread, well, California is considered the breadbasket of America. 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. Oh my, that doesn't sound like they have a whole lot of bread, right? Guess what? They're destroying crops over there. They're destroying farmers over there. They don't care. And they shall, because they can control a people that doesn't have food. And they also plan to control people with health reasons, you know, because of their system. That's why Obama wanted so badly Obamacare, because there's no care in it. There's control. And they shall deliver your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I walk contrary unto you in wrath, and I also will chastise you seven times for your sins. Seven times more. Wow. So, well, we've had hurricanes, we've had massacres, massacres and building fires in California, and coming, I believe, are false flag ISIS attacks, which may not be ISIS at all, or it could be using ISIS because they work for the CIA, and plagues, and etc. Unless we get a hold of God. I mean, it's time to stop playing, isn't it? It's time to stop pleasing ourselves, but do the work that we've been sent to do. We have to be salt. We have to be salt for America. We got to be a preservation influence in America. And if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast under the feet of men. We find that in the book of Revelation. That parts of the house of God are held by the Gentiles, trodden under the feet of men. You know, there was 10 judgments that fell upon Egypt, and it was for what? To get God's people to leave Egypt and to go into the wilderness to serve Him. People don't like the wilderness. They like the flesh pots. They like the government assistance. So 10 judgments fell on Egypt, and 3 fell on both the Egyptians and the Israelites. I believe it was to sanctify the Israelites, to get their attention, because they weren't any better than the Egyptians. They weren't listening. And after the third plague of the lice, seven more fell on the Egyptians only before the people of God went to the Red Sea, destruction of the dragon, and into the wilderness tribulation. So we need to pray and do warfare. It looks to me like we're walking lockstep with history here, right? So keep count of these judgments, because I believe there's seven of them before the Red Sea destruction. In other words, there would be more, but the dragon is going down in the Red Sea. We're now being warned by intelligence, if you can call it that, to watch for an ISIS attack. These are not our friends. They're, again, trying to push their responsibility off on ISIS. And I'll put an article here that tells you where they're telling us. Yep, watch out for them ISIS people. Oh, really? They tried hard to make the lone gunman a radicalized ISIS attacker, but it appears clearly that he was working for the CIA and running guns to ISIS for them and others. It's clear that ISIS is a CIA asset, and that Obama and Hillary and the CIA created ISIS. And what did they use them to do in the Middle East? What they wanted, right? What did they do? They wiped out Christian community after Christian community. They killed Christians, lots of them. Some of them gave their lives to refuse Islam. And before the California false flag, after seeing all the stuff coming out about the traitorous uranium sale to Russia, I said that it sounds like a false flag is imminent to distract from this. So maybe I wasn't wrong about that. And now I see this, which sounds, this article, for instance, it sounds much more like I should be fearing a CIA attack to disrupt the investigation, right? The CIA is trying to blame the Los Angeles massacre on ISIS too. Yep, it's them, it's them, it's them. Now, I'm not doubting that they might use them to bring about a biological attack, as we've already received. And, you know, I've said from the beginning that I don't believe man is going to stop them any more than God's people stopped Pharaoh and his army. God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he could get glory on Pharaoh and that his name might be published abroad all over the earth. But he was the one. He got the glory in taking down Pharaoh and his army. That's why I don't believe it's going to happen. And even relatively good people, like maybe Jeff Sessions, have been sidelined because of threats, bribes, you know, whatever. Jeff Sessions said Rosenstein would head the investigation about the uranium scandal, knowing that he was on the board who okayed the sale. In other words, he would be investigating himself. Well, I don't think that'll work, do you? And Sessions knows better than that. I believe he's been compromised by threats, blackmail, bribes, something. Somebody said $15 million. I don't know. That could be part of it. But I believe Sessions could have stood up to $15 million. I'm thinking it was something more than that, threatening him or his family. Do you know what you do if somebody threatens your family, that you either give in to them, do what they say, or else? You know, do you, well, you see, that's the situation. So they've been able to do that with everybody. So this could be another whitewash plan. I'm talking about him investigating Hillary, or Rosenstein investigating Hillary for the uranium. I don't see how that could work. And, of course, Jeff said just a little while back that he would not investigate Hillary, etc., or Obama, etc. Wasn't going to do it. Just told you right up front he wasn't going to do it. Now, that's crazy. Before you've looked at all the evidence, you're saying that. That sounds like, well, I'm not going to be able to do it. They got a gun to my head. And I believe Muslim invaders could be used soon to release biological weapons, as we've seen in our dreams. But they're not the source. And we're now hearing a plague has started in Madagascar. I'll put a link here. And it's spreading. And, gee, I wonder if some lone gunman will fly to the United States, as happened before, to spread the infection. Well, we got to blame it on somebody. We have to go to the source of all of this, because they can think up more evil and more things to do against you than you can guess. We got to go to the source. We got to bring down the source with spiritual warfare. Of course, we're not talking about physical weapons or anything like that. We don't believe in that. But, and we have a Passover lamb. So, back to Bill and his revelation. Bill said, I looked around for a way to get further away from the storm. It was a fearful thing in his dream, right? And started running as fast as I could. I was safe, but I was very, very worried about our entire local body at UBM who were on the beach. Yeah. No matter where you are, you're on this beachhead, because these waves in the sky reach everywhere. And the plagues that they're sprinkling down out of heaven reach everywhere. And he, a little further down, he said, in the dream I thought they were all going to die. I thought to myself, they can make it, but they better be strong. What is strong? Got any idea what strong is? I would say strong in the faith of your Passover lamb. Strong in holiness and righteousness, because righteousness delivereth from death, right? If your heart condemns you not, you have boldness towards God. And whatsoever you ask, you receive of him, because you keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So therefore, if you've got a clean conscience, you can ask in boldness, right? So these are some things that make you strong. He said, the Lord showed me that the storm will come to separate the strong from the very strong. Well, that word separate we know about. It's called faction, right? It's what's going on in the government. It's what's going on in the church. And he went on to say, I said, pray very hard for UBM. Well, I think there's a type here, because the unleavened bread people were the ones who partook of the Passover. That's what came to me as I read this part. He said, there's a huge storm going through the area. The dream was so real that I woke up with my adrenaline pumping. I woke up with these scriptures on my heart, 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Well, what have we been watching here? Notice judgment is beginning with the people of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? There's a lot of people that don't obey the gospel of God. A lot of Christians don't obey the gospel of God, the good news of what was provided by Jesus. Overwhelming majority of the church does not believe in deliverance from the curse. They just believe you're forgiven from your sins. They don't believe in deliverance from sin. They just believe you're forgiven for them. So they continue on in their sin. Something Paul said, God forbid. God forbid. He made you free from sin. Why should you walk any longer therein? Right? Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God, he said, Romans 6. So, if it begins first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, my old daddy used to call it by the skin of their teeth. Saved by the skin of your teeth. Well, that's not much, is it? Scarcely saved. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? People are dabbling in sin and thinking they can get away with it. Well, look, he's releasing these seven judgments to take people out who are walking in willful disobedience. We don't need them. The church doesn't need them because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians 5. In Proverbs 2 and 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Now, wouldn't you like to remain in it? Obviously, the upright can be driven from the land, right? But the perfect are going to remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. Well, we know who the treacherous are. They're the faction in the church and in the government. They are treacherous, wicked people. They'll be cut off from the land. Well, notice that the Babylonish dragon will ultimately be rooted out, just as in Eve's dream. The dragon died in the seawater, typing the Red Sea, right? Praise the Lord. But we may have a while until then. We may have time for the rest of the seven judgments until then. And of course, they had the Red Sea to the Israelites was a revival. They were delivered of their fleshly enemies. And so shall we. There's people out there that have been traitors, Judases, to the church. A deliverance is coming for God's people. As Eve saw the dragon drown, and she said right away that we had been delivered from our factious enemies. So, when the dragon destroyer passed over Egypt, God's people who ate the lamb, who is the Word, by the way, Jesus, escaped under the blood because they had faith in the promised Passover. And so should we. But most of Christianity does not eat all of the Word, which is all of the lamb, right? They don't eat all of the Word. How can they have a Passover? And they don't believe Jesus, who is the Lamb, bore the curse for us, as in Psalm 91. They don't believe Psalm 91. That's for the millennium. See, they've putting off every kind of promise that we need to save our lives. They're putting it off for some time in the future, right? Oh, we don't. This passed away and that passed away. And they're murderous people. These apostate leadership people are destroying their people. They are not preparing them for what is coming. It reminds you of the apostate Zedekiah leadership, right? That was captured by Babylon and blinded And then their people were taken down, conquered, right? So, it's sad to say a lot of God's people are in the situation where they're in an idolatrous institution and worshiping a man, humbling themselves to a man, not going and looking in the book for themselves. I always suggest to people, go home and read your Bible. Close the doors. Just go home and read your Bible. Find out what the greatest teachers the world has ever known will tell you. We don't have a need that any man should teach us, the Bible says. We have an anointing from the Holy One. That means he anoints us to understand truth. Why would I go to Bible college and study these people rather than go to the Bible and know that the word that those apostles and prophets spoke was the word of God? I was actually asked that one time by a bunch of Bible college people, and it was in a full gospel church, but it was still apostate. And they asked me how come I didn't go to their Bible college. They liked the things I was saying. They were enjoying the things I was saying. I said, well, look, I could go to your Bible college and study the best that your religion has to offer. I can go to the Bible and get the best that history has to offer. Why not go right to the source? Right? We need to go to the source. People are dying. Because of Zedekiah's leadership, their apostate capital city there was conquered. Yeah. So, let me ask you this. How could we get two witnesses in one night of the same thing, an attack of the dragon beast or dragon destroyer against the people of God, in which it's identified as faction in the church and in the government, and then I get a vision confirming this calling for urgent prayer for the same thing, the waves coming upon the land, taking back some of the sand that's supposed to be the sand of the seashore, Abraham's people, and bringing them under the dominion of the beast. So how could we get this and not do what's commanded there? We know in Genesis 41 and 32 it says, "And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." Notice that when it's doubled, it's established by God and it will come to pass. Do you think you can stop judgment to begin at the house of God? Not upon the people that are supposed to be judged. If sentence against an evil work isn't executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Why would you not want people to be chastened who are in rebellion? All right? So he's saying this is coming. It's coming. The question is, will it take out you? Will you be able to help America as far as Cyrus and his army to bring down the false Babylonian system? So it's coming. And this attack is in process. And it's in progress. Now. And we have already received the dream warnings of everyone who is in danger of falling. Because in those dreams, it tells you exactly who it was that was in danger. And this is just as it happened every time before. But we can win this war just as Eve saw the dragon drowned. Historically, this has happened after the dragon has done its job. Read Isaiah 10, the Assyrian dragon. Basically, God said, when I'm through with my people, chastening them, straightening them up, then I'm going to turn on the Assyrians. But he thought it was his idea. That's what he said there. It was his plan to destroy the people of God. He thought that. But the Lord said, no, it was me. It was me. So we can't fight against God, can we? After the dragon has done his job, what could be the end of the dragon's job? Everybody repenting, at least enough people repenting that God doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to chasten. What's the dragon's job? To separate the sin or even the sinner from God's people. We'd rather see the sin taken out than the sinner taken out. We love everybody. We don't want to see anybody fail. But that's what the dragon's here for. So we need to all be under the blood. We need to have all eaten all of the lamb, not just pick and choose verses, you know, but all of the lamb, who was the word, become flesh, right? That was in the orders to have the Passover. You had to eat all of the lamb. And do spiritual warfare against the dragon, destroyer beast, and go to the source, right? I think that's what God's saying. Go to the source. At least several times in the fast, in the last few days, we've received by faith at random words from the Lord exhorting us to believe in His Passover of judgment. And so, you know, here's one of them, Ezekiel 45 and 21. In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover. A feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. And that's why I believe unleavened bread is being used in this text. Faction and witchcraft spirits in the Satanists destroy their conscience. Killing a lot of people does not bother them. The problem with people who are honest is they can't really believe that this could be our own people, our American people, coming against us to try to destroy everything that Christianity stands for. Well, that's because we don't understand the very, very evil and wicked mind of a person who's under faction and witchcraft. Say, there's one thing common about Hollywood and the government. They're all in bed together. They're all a bunch of sadists and child predators. And they sacrifice not only the children, but Americans for strength with their god, Satan. They're Satanists. And the elite are Satanists. We know what the scripture says about faction, that it's accompanied with, quote, every vile deed, unquote. Why is that? Because this is a very vile spirit. They're desperate unless they can spread their witchcraft and faction by slander. They're desperate to do it. Don't believe anything they say, because with their mouth is open, they're lying. So, who will not escape? Well, Bill, in his dream, said, immediately, two giant black tornadoes began to form. And, well, we know in Nahum 1 and 3, the Lord is slow to anger. And He's great in power and will by no means clear the guilty, which means you have to get a whipping. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind. That's a tornado. And in the storm. The Lord has his way in the tornado and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. And Bill, pointing out these people that would not escape, went on to say, below them, that is below these tornadoes, were a bunch of people enjoying these huge Ferris wheels and hot air balloons. Well, it's an amusement park. Isn't that kind of typical of God's people? They amuse themselves with things every day to keep the self happy, right? They amuse themselves with movies. They amuse themselves with food. A lot of full gospel people like food. They amuse themselves with constant fellowship sometimes, instead of getting along with the Lord and doing the job he's commanding us to do, right? It's an amusement park. And he went on to say there was a huge carnival taking place I hadn't seen previously. So these people that were about to be destroyed by these giant black tornadoes were not sacrificing their life at all for their brethren or for their country or anything. They were enjoying themselves. Bill went on to say, he said, what the Lord showed me is that this is judgment on apostate Christians who are not running the race to win the prize. The word carnival comes from two Latin words, caro carn, which means flesh, and lavare, which means put away, flesh put away. These Christians had never fully put to death the flesh from their walk. A Ferris wheel goes up, but it comes down again, never fully making an abode in heaven and going around in circles. I remember actually the second church I went to, well, all of them actually go around in circles. They have these pet doctrines that they keep harping on, but they don't ever go on unto perfection, right? They're just going around in circles. They can do it for years. I don't see why they don't get totally bored, but they do it for years, going around in circles. And they were doing the same thing with these hot air balloons, going up and coming down. Yeah, because they're tethered, right? Those hot air balloons are always tethered to the earth. How are you going to rise up to be with the stars of heaven, to accompany the sun, you know, in glory, if you're tethered to the earth? He said, overcoming and then falling away again. They're constantly falling away. They were completely destroyed in under 20 seconds from these black tornadoes. So these are the people that God's not promising to keep from the judgments that are coming. Those who rebel against the word, as every religion does, are not going to escape judgment. Think about in Jesus' day, not one denomination of Judaism listened to him or followed him. And they were all destroyed by the Roman beast, every last one of them. And we're called now to return to the scriptures and sacrifice our indulgent amusement park lives and do warfare against the enemies. And I don't think God's going to be satisfied with less. So I asked the Lord, What do you expect of me, Lord? And I did a by faith at random, put my finger down on Ezekiel 33:1, right there at the beginning. Whenever that happens, I know the Lord wants me to read the chapter. So, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land. Is that happening? Yes, the sword is coming upon the land. If you don't know it, you're not paying close attention. They're trying to kill the people that voted for Trump. They're trying to make them useless. So they're out there desperately looking for a place to live instead of voting. They probably won't get to vote again. They're herding them into camps. Who knows what's happening there? I don't. We know what threats the Lord has had about these camps that they're herding them into. Okay. And the people of the land take a man from among them and set him for their watchman. And if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet. I'm blowing the trumpet. He blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. So it'll be their fault. People have spoken up. They have, at the risk of their lives, warned about what is coming and what is happening. Pay attention. These people know that there's a threat against them. Pay attention. If they're that desperate to tell you something, pay attention, right? We have a job to do. We have to do it now. There are more judgments coming if we don't. He said, and if you will not yet hearken unto me, and then he pronounced another judgment, right? Verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took no warning. His blood shall be upon him. Whereas, if he had taken warning, he would have delivered his soul. It is so true. Saints, I'm so sad about people that don't take the warnings. I've given warnings till I'm blue in the face, and I see people that, even though they've watched people before get the warning and get destroyed because they didn't obey, they watched it happen, then they do it too. How stupid. They say sheep are really stupid animals. Well, obviously. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, now this is a good exhortation for all of the true watchmen. There's lots of people call themselves watchmen out there. They need to find out what they're talking about before they go out and make themselves a watchman. But anyway, if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, and the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So if you're not given warning, God will judge the watchman. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, and thou dost not speak to warn the wicked in his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Just remember, he says, when I say unto the wicked, right? Do you know that there's never been a factious person that God was separating from us for their sin, that God didn't first warn us that they were going out by dreams. Now, the first time that happens, I asked the Lord. I said, "Now, Lord, do you want me to share this dream with this person? Or do you want me just to pray for them?" And he gives me one of those answers. Just to pray for them or to give it to them. Now, if he tells me not to give it to them, I hold on to it. And sometime down the road, if I'm reminded of it, I say, "Lord, do you want me to tell them about this now?" You see, it says, "When I say unto the wicked," you're not responsible to go out there and tell everybody on earth you're going to die and go to hell if you don't repent. No. He says, "When I say unto the wicked." I've given those dreams to people and they totally blew up, exploded, because they had rejection or fear of rejection and they wouldn't take correction. They were stubborn rebellion because witchcraft was in them. You know, witchcraft is a spirit of rebellion, self-will, rebellion. So I'm careful, but I'm not so careful that I won't share it with them to save their life, even if they blow up, okay? So, because I don't want their blood on my hands. So, it never surprises me now. I mean, obviously when we've had the dreams and I've looked at the dreams and I know that this person is in danger and I do whatever I can to help them repent of the sin that they're in, and I do it as gracefully as I can, because you know that people with rejection don't receive correction very good. They always read it as rejection. So I'm always graceful and careful and so on and so forth, you know, with them when I know someone is in danger, right? And I will bring up the things for them to think about, you know, not necessarily affronting them with them, but bringing them up so that they can think about these things, this warning. Sometimes the Lord just has me give the general warning so that everybody gets to hear it, you know, and not give any names or anything like that. And sometimes he just says, "Yep, give them the dream and bring correction." And I've done that, and they've exploded and taken off like a rocket, you know. Not a big deal. It has to happen. The Lord says it must be done. So it says here. So, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he turn not from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Amen. So, the Bible says, don't make yourselves many teachers, because the teachers shall receive the heavier condemnation. We have more responsibility to be teachers, but people lust to be teachers and leaders and pastors. And that's the people that are not qualified anyway to be one. But anyway, they desire to be above people because they like that prominence. They like that place of what they consider, you know, admiration and so on and so forth. But that's not something to be desired. I was forced into it. I just liked studying the Word for myself. That's really, honestly, that's where I was when the Lord called me and then sent me. I was digging in the Word every day. Loved the Word. Just loved to find out about God, what I could do to please Him, you know. But the Lord wouldn't let me stay there. So here I am. Verse 10, "And thou, son of man, say unto the house of Israel, thus ye shall speak, saying, our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we pine away in them. How then can we live?" Well, I see people like that all the time. They're not growing in the Lord because they won't humble themselves to God. They won't admit that what this is that they're doing is a transgression. They won't humble themselves to God and to His Word. It's very clear. And they are in a sense of denial because they have a fear of rejection. Well, they know that I'm not critical or angry or judgmental towards people that are in sin. If they confess their sin, that's just a wonderful thing to me, and I'm happy for them, and I pray for them, you know. So they by experience, they know that I'm not a critical, judgmental person. But that fear of rejection, it's an irrational fear of rejection. They want to be seen as good, smart, holy, you know, admirable people. And so they don't want to confess any sin. And that is a dangerous place to be in. The devil has them trapped because you know if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. But they won't do it. They can't bring themselves to do it. You know, when I was young, of course, even when I started in Christianity, I had rejection and fear of rejection. It was in my family. And I just decided very quickly that I didn't like it and I didn't want it. And I wanted to believe the scriptures, and I was, you know, eating the word all day and night, you know, just eating the word. And I'm telling you, that made it easy. That's what made it easy to be delivered of that, you know. But I learned to go against that spirit, that it was really wanting me to be an introvert and, you know, and not do what I'm supposed to do. And so since I've had experience with it, the Lord sends me people that have, you know, rejection and fear of rejection, because the Lord knows I'll be patient with them because I've been there myself. I know the pain of it and so on and so forth, you know. And he sends people to us like that. But I tell you what, some of them, no matter how graceful you are, they're not going to confess anything as sin. To them, everything they do is right. And they'll justify anything to try to be seen as perfect, you know. And it's sad. It's a trap. It's a trap. And thou, son of man, say unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we pine away in them. How then can we live? Because they're just not maturing in the Lord, because they're staying in the same old place because of fear. Now, they know that fear is wrong. They know it's unbiblical. They know that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And yet they won't join with somebody to fight against their fears, you know. And he says, say unto them, that is these people that are pining away in their sins and don't know how they can get out of them, I would say, paraphrasing it. Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Well, I feel the same way. I mean, I'm miserable for people that are miserable because there's a separation in their life away from the holy people. And I'm miserable that they're not growing up in the Lord. They're not redeeming the time. They're going around in a circle, you know. And the Lord says, he's not pleased in their death. He wants them to turn from their way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And thou, son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. You hear that? What you've done that's righteous and good is not going to deliver you when you fall into sin. It's the sin God's looking at. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, He shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. In other words, all of your sins won't be remembered when you turn to God. Turn to God today. Confess your sins. Find somebody that you think is faithful, you know, that won't use it against you if you want, if you're afraid, you know, and confess your sins. And ask the Lord, ask them to pray for you, you know. Neither shall he that is righteous be able to live thereby in the day that he sinneth. See, in the day a person falls into sin and he's taken out in his sins, well, all his righteous deeds are not going to be remembered. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trust to his righteousness and commit iniquity, because a lot of people do that. They think, well, I've been pretty good. I think I can get away with this. You know, God will let me do this. No, God's got his finger on your sin because he wants you to get through with that one so he can put his finger on another one. Now, guess what? If you don't do this one today, you won't get rid of that one tomorrow. Right? People trust in their righteousness because of what they've done or what they do. Well, I belong to UBM, you know. That won't amount to a hill of beans when you're faced with the Lord. So don't trust in your righteousness. Anything that you've done, any people that you're around, none of it. When God puts his finger on your sin, do something with it today because he's got something else for you to do tomorrow. And commit iniquity, therein shall he die. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. Now, if you want to progress, if you want to bear fruit, and you've got a certain amount of time to do that, and you're running a race against time to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, then you, when God speaks to you about your sin, you better pay attention now. You say, well, I got plenty of time. No, you don't. You're running a race. You're running against the clock. You have a certain amount of time to overcome sin in order to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. But the devil tells you, don't worry about it. You got a lot of time. And by the way, look at so-and-so over there. He sins. And look at your preacher. He sins. He got this and that. And that. No. Ain't none of that going to count. When you're before the judgment seat, none of that's going to count. And if the wicked restore the pledge and give again that which he had taken by robbery, oh, I can tell you a bunch of factious people that are thieves. When it says every vile deed, it means just that. I'm talking about, I've seen a bunch of them fall into homosexuality, theft, willful lying and deception and slander, which God said he would destroy a person who did that. And they don't have any conscience. I mean, you can show them that verse to, you know, daylight to dark, it wouldn't make any difference. The conscience is gone. When the demons come in, conscience goes. Right? The word goes. An importance in your life for the word goes. You have to get rid of demons. You can't live with them. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sins and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which he had taken by robbery, walk in the statutes of life, committing no iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be remembered against him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Well, there's the good news and the bad news in that text, but it basically means you can't stand still. You got to keep moving. It's only one way to have progress. You have to keep on walking. Keep on pedaling, you know. You know, there are some things spoken in Scripture that should make a lot of people shake in their shoes. But they just read over them like they're nothing. You know, Galatians 5 and 21, it says, I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you. In other words, he's telling them again what he told them before, and they didn't pay attention the first time. That they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my gosh, people have doctrines that totally let them ignore everything that's being said here. Like the Holy Spirit is schizophrenic. He would say something and then say something totally against it. No, everything has to fit. Everything does fit. They who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what kind of things would cause us to not inherit the kingdom? Well, let's read it. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh. Now the Bible says, of course, Romans 8, Paul said, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. He was talking to God's people. So don't say you can't die, and don't say you can't fall away, and don't say you can not be lost. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication. You know, this faction that's in the government and in the church is rampant with fornication. But where we're involved in this situation, they've never been able to get away with it, because every time people get dreams about their fornication. Yes. I mean, the finger is right on them. Even if they're just thinking it in their mind, they're fornicating, as Jesus said, and they can't get away with it here. They do not get away with it here. And fornication is common with faction. Uncleanness. Yeah, this is an unclean thought life. And, oh, of course, the anger and the railing and the stuff that they do, it's uncleanness, not acceptable to God. And these people are not walking in the kingdom of God. They're not forgiving, and they are not forgiven. So, and lasciviousness, that's kind of like carnival thing, you know, lasciviousness, just doing what you want to do. Everything is okay, you know. No, we're not our own. We were bought with a price. We are servants, bond servants of the Lord. Everything is not okay. We have to lay aside every weight and the sin in order to run this race. You must win this race. Paul said only one is going to win this race. Did you know that? Just one. That's Jesus. And the only way you're going to win it is to be in Jesus. And to be in Jesus is to be humble to His Word and to be walking in faith, right? In the sacrifice. Willful disobedience doesn't have a sacrifice. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27, read it. You don't have a sacrifice if you're in willful disobedience. But that's giving yourself a license to sin, a license to do what you want to do, even if it's a weight and not necessarily a sin, as Paul called it. Weights still keep you from winning the prize. In themselves, they may not be sins, you know, in themselves, but the fact that they're keeping you from winning the race is going to have the same effect. Idolatry. You know, I would say that these people in the government and in the church, they are idolaters. They are, actually, I'm going to tell you, they're Satanists. God has revealed them to be Satanists. They follow Satan. They worship his ways. They ignore the word just like he does. They hold things highly that are insignificant. They strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. And sorcery is there listed right along with the rest of them. Sorcery, that's the word pharmakia. And, of course, the English word for that is pharmacy. That's the English word for that, sorcery. And it means healing through drugs. That word is also translated witchcraft. We've talked about how witchcraft is the companion of faction. And it's very much more powerful than faction. It lends its power to faction, right? And it is a spirit of rebellion, or I would say also anarchy, because anarchy is rebellion against any form of government or whatever. As you can see, that's all over. It's been spread by the Satanists through the left-wing government, by their false prophet media out there. Those demons have been imparted to multitudes of people and spread all over the world. Anarchy, rebellion, witchcraft has been spread all over the world. And according to 1 Samuel 15 and 23, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." And stubbornness, you know, when a person is stubborn, which is no way to get grace from God. The humble will get grace from God. The self-willed, the rebellious, the stubborn, he resists. He resists the proud. That they're too proud to change. They're okay with the way they are. They're always okay. No matter what they, what anybody else thinks, they're always okay. It's stubbornness. It says idolatry. And teraphim, it says. "And because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king." You know, he said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or understanding," right? My people. Revelation 22 and 14 says, "Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life." Whoa! Think about that very carefully. Don't just eat it like a hog, you know. Chew it. Meditate on it. "Blessed are they that wash their robes," which is your works. "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ," that's works, "and don't make provision for the lusts of the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." You know, it's your works. "That they may have a right to come to the tree of life." You have a right to eternal life if you wash your robes, if you bear fruit, "and may enter in by the gates into the city." And by the way, that's the bride city, right? Some people who have washed the robes will become a part of the bride. And by the way, there were other people that came into the city, but didn't live there. In other words, they weren't the bride, but the capital city is where princes of the tribes lived in order to represent their particular tribe to the king, like David, for instance, you know. But it says here, "Without are the dogs." Without are the dogs. Not in the city, can't go there. "The sorcerers," there's your witchcraft again, same word. "And the fornicators. And the murderers." And we've discovered that there's more than one way to murder somebody. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. That's what the Lord said. And, of course, they would say, "Oh, I love you, brother." But they'll stab you in the back quick, and my goodness, they don't know love, and they're liars when they say they love. That's that demon saying, "I love you, brother." It's a demon saying it. And the murderers, I mean, there's more than one way to murder. You can murder people physically, you can murder them spiritually. And murdering them spiritually is to take away their eternal life. and the idolaters. The most important thing to these people is self. They worship self. If you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life, Jesus said. That's a condition. There's a condition. And everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. Boy, God doesn't care for liars. They love to lie. These people that are in the government and in the church, and right now they are the Judases of their own people, whether it's the people of the world in America or whether it's the people in the church, they are Judases. They are laying traps for their own people. Verse 20. Enmities. There are people that like to be enemies of others. We don't want to be enemies. We want everybody to be our friend, but we're not willing to compromise in order to do that. And if we have to tell them the truth about themselves and their sin, then we're unwilling enemies. We don't willfully do it. But these people willfully do it, and they love it. They want to have enemies. And in fact, when they're putting down on somebody else, it makes them feel good about themselves. Well, I'm not so bad. Look at him. He's this and that. And of course, it all might be lies, but, you know. And strife. You can't get around them unless you're going to have strife. If you won't listen to strife, if you won't listen to gossip, if you won't listen to slander, they'll be your enemy. Right? Jealousies. Many people are jealous. They're angry because you're doing this and they want your position and they'll steal it even though it hasn't been given to them. They're jealous. And wrath. Wrath is a function of unforgiveness. Right? If a person's got wrath, they've got unforgiveness. If they've got unforgiveness, they're not going to heaven. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven by God. So, wrath and factions and divisions, which are very close. Faction is a division. It is making a division. Faction always starts by unforgiveness, which turns people over to the tormentors. And these tormentors can be totally stupid. Unforgiveness causes the one who has it to be unforgiven by God. Faction is dividing from others by self-seeking and self-ambition, selfish ambition. Another outcropping of this problem is they cause division to make disciples through slander or railing. They have an ambition to rule over some people. They don't care if they have to destroy them to do it. Parties or heresies. You know, that's people that, by the way, they use scriptures in order to gather you unto them. Parties. In other words, they use scriptures in order to make you turn away from other parts of the body and turn to them, because we're the only one that does this. We baptize in this way or that way, or we do this or we do that. We're one of the elite, you know. And you can't go anywhere else because they vilified everybody else, you see. So you just know there's nowhere else to go. I have to stay here, even though these are rotten people. Right? Verse 21, envyings and drunkenness and revelings. People that love to go out and have fun in the world. And such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my, there's some stern warnings in the scripture. People like to just read right over them. Be careful. Look at these things carefully. Study them. Look them up in your like a Vine's Expository Dictionary or some kind of an expository Greek or Hebrew dictionary, you know. Look these things up. Study them. I mean, it would be very, very important to know what would keep you from the kingdom, right? When a person's conscience is defiled, they don't care what this verse says. They don't care. And, of course, these people don't get their prayers answered. The only prayer that God wants to hear from them is the prayer of repentance, right? Mark 11:24 says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive." So, there are people out there that don't get their prayers answered, and they finally give up and go back to the world and do things the way of the world because they're not getting their prayers answered, but they won't repent. When you're praying, he said, when you're praying, believe you have received, and God will give it to you, but you got to forgive. If you have aught against anyone, that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. And I've run across people who don't know how to forgive. They just don't know. They hold grudges against other people, and you can tell them about it, and they continue to hold the grudge. And they say they're not holding a grudge, but they are. They're lying to your face. Well, they don't have any fear of God. They can't be saved in that situation. If they walked across the street and got ran over tomorrow, they're just lost. Because their sins can't be forgiven. God can't lie. So forgive if you have aught against anyone, that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses, right? So forgive from the heart. Don't hold a grudge for a moment. As Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not." There should be a question mark there, by the way. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." In other words, don't hold it for the night. Don't hold it till tomorrow. Get rid of it now. Make things right with your brother while you're with them in the way. There are those who hold grudges, and it is dangerous to all of us to do that. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of a fool." So therefore, if you've got anger, you're a fool. Is that not right? That's what it says. So you think he's saying, go ahead and be angry, but just don't sin? No, he says, anger is a fool. Well, Father, we thank you for this word you've given us, and we ask, Lord, that all the brethren do diligence to lay down their lives and pray and do warfare against the source. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, saints, thank you. Please listen to this. Go back and read it. Look at the links I put on it and study it and do some service to the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Good night. Bless you.